are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back to Mid-Morning Empowerment. The time is 9:34 here on Adventist World Radio. We are getting into our conversation with Elder Christopher Mabibo. He's on the line. Elder, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you, my elder?
Fine, thanks.
Thank you so much. Before we get into our conversation, my elder, can you pray for us?
All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people, pertinent issues, our lives, how they, those we interact with. Ask Lord that you help us find eloquent speech. Maybe data information. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my elder, for that. We are looking at manhood, breaking free from pornography. So pornography is often a secret battle many men face, hiding behind screens and silence. It's a struggle that can deeply affect mental, emotional and spiritual health, yet remains largely undiscussed in communities and churches. This conversation opens up the space for honest dialogue, healing, and practical steps towards freedom. So my question to you, my elders, is that why do you think pornography is such a hidden but widespread issue among men?
Thank you so much. The issue is that there's a lot of shame around the issues of addiction and pornography. Unlike other sins or other things, habits which you might struggle with and can easily open up to the next person, this is something that comes with a lot of it's a taboo topic. Whenever sexuality altogether, generally, in many a church, be it in our own church, at an Adventist church or elsewhere, many are taboo topics. But majority of men will tell you that the depth and length of education received during their lifetime in a church is thou shalt not. So many people do not have this balanced sexual education received from the church, from the pulpit, or from church circle. So the only place where they get like an unbridled, knowledge, like street education, is pornography. And make matters worse, today it's easily accessible. So and before they know it, it's like, you see, bad habits are like a comfortable bed, very easy to get into, but difficult to come out. So they even something I can control myself, but at the time they realize those soft feeling chains have become iron chains around their wrists, and now they are like a demoniac who's called Legion, has got so many demons who control him, not in control himself.
Sure.
So the taboo around right. makes it a hidden.
And what role does shame play in keeping men from seeking help?
Unfortunately, the psychology of men, I do with a lot of young men mentorship, but men generally.
Okay.
You find that men, just the way we are wired, we want to sort, to a large extent, sort out our issues on our own. It's different from your sister, yourself. You find that the first thing you do is maybe call out to your mom, an aunt, or a friend, I'm going through this. For a man, by the time he opens up, believe that he's trying everything possible to sort out that issue on his own.
Sure.
Now, we're still adding of taboo or stigma to it, because men then is thinking to himself, they're going to see me as less than. I'm unworthy. I'm weak. Why am I subject to this thing that I cannot just shake it off like anybody else? So the shame makes sure that you are kept where you are. Like a demoniac, I said, you're kept in the caves, living in the tombs, living in isolation, where you are just, this thing is crushing you, but you feel I cannot reach out because of the consequences. They'll begin to perceive me as less than, unworthy, and I'm just a weak individual who cannot beat this.
Yeah. So do you think, my elder, if you guys were given a space where you can share that you are struggling with this pornography, it will make it easy for them maybe to open up about it? Or maybe... Okay.
Sorry?
Yes.
I do actually believe so, because what generally lacks for men are safe spaces. A safe space for the entire world is telling men, be strong, masculinity, be strong. A friend of mine gave me an example. Mm. He and his wife lost, the wife had a miscarriage. They lost the child. Mm. The world, everybody was coming to that, comfort them, was telling the wife, comforting her, you go to see me through ABC. The only way they had for the man was, be strong. She needs you. Be strong. Mm. This guy was saying, yes, my wife, I may not be the one carrying the child, but I lost the child too.
Hey.
And everybody's being told, men are looked at as, you've got no feelings to process. You've got no, just be strong, man up, chin up, and go about it. Oh, so men are not encouraged to, even just from a tender age, if you're the son, a son falls, that trips and falls while running in the playground, they say, no, boys don't cry. You tell him to suppress his emotions. Mm-hmm. A young girl, the same age, falls, she'll be pampered, no, mommy, don't cry, sorry. You know, they'll make her feel like, everybody comes to your attention. So you grow up, you are wired expecting that when I am unhappy or things happening to me as a young lady, as a woman, I need somebody to cry on, a shoulder to cry on, seek audience, somebody to come to my aid. A man is not chin up, man up. The world is not coming to rescue you or save you. Step up. So these environments are lacking. And that's why even the statistics show that men generally are taking their legs in droves. Why? Because where they should have reached out, even just the hospitals will tell you, women go to hospital quicker when they notice any challenge with themselves.
Right.
Men go to hospitals late. The thing is, this is something I can sort out.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep pushing it down until somebody tells them, say, no. My brother, you need medical attention. This is now getting out of hand. And right. I've seen many uncles, many people, families who, when you go, they say, would have saved this man and you come in my face.
Hey.
So, that those safe spaces are lacking for men.
Powerful one, my elder. Thank you so much for that powerful answer. And how can accountability be introduced in a way that feels safe and non-judgmental?
Yes, that's a critical. It's important first to say that maybe before we get to that, because for somebody listening to us, they're wondering, what's the big issue of this pornography they're talking about? Is it that bad? Is it like the drugs or something else? So I paint the picture of how bad this is. You know that the Berner Group did a study, these are institutions, I think out of America. They said over 60% of Christian men, I didn't say men, Christian men, admit to struggling with pornography.
Sure.
And nearly 1 in 5 describe it as an addiction.
Yo.
Meaning it's not just men outside the church. It's many faithful husbands, fathers, spiritual leaders are silently trapped in this cycle. And this problem starts early teenage years. And because porn is so accessible to them, it becomes a secret escape from stress, rejection. You know, people want to live in their own world, in their own bubble. Social media can basically lead your life to carry a school. So people become engrossed and hooked on this escape. Reality is so harsh. Maybe I'm difficult. I'm going through this stuff that is unpleasant to do at the moment. And because I've maybe cultivated a relationship with God, where going to the Bible, going through the Psalms, or whatever, will give me a perspective and comfort, I find something to escape. It's painful. And the best of us do have some escape habits. Some go see a friend, but people turn to pornography. Mm. It's kind of the stress and all those things. But this is not harmless. It's very harmful. In fact, I would say this, that it does rewire the brain.
Right.
What happens is this. On a personal level, it creates a cycle of guilt. The secrecy and dependence don't feel strong one moment. They say, I've stopped this thing. Next minute, they're feeling ashamed because they've gone back to it. The same thing they said they're stopped. Neurologically, it activates the dopamine system, meaning men become numb. You know, dopamine is that hormone, that the feel-good hormone for you what? When you passed your exam, got in a job, got in a promotion. Mm-hmm. So this, speaking this, even the yaka, intimacy, sex, whatever, gives you the dopamine reaction. Now, with pornography, it overactivates that system that men begin to be numb. Many men, married men will tell you that they fail to have sexual satisfaction with their wives until after everything you've done, they need to access pornography for them to reach that level because they've become numb.
Mm.
So it begins to destroy marriage. Eh? It begins to destroy, like any drug. The first hit, you might take a bottle of one alcoholic beverage. But the first time, it might make you feel so happy. Next time, bottles, you might need two bottles to get there. Before you know it, you need 15 to feel how you felt with the first, time you had one bottle. So the more people do this, things like this pornography, it rewires their brain, the dependency, and they are numb. Where they would have watched 5 minutes and got in that effect they want, they need to watch hours of it now to get what they need. And now it affects one-on-one personal relationships with their wives, with your spouse. She can't give you what 1,000 actors are giving you. She's one person. So it begins to affect marriages. There's no intimacy. There's no connection. And then spirituality, of course, is that distance. You are feeling there's no way. It's like Adam, you're hiding. God is looking for you. You're saying, where are you? And you say, no, I hate myself. Why? Because you feel dirty, you feel shame. And you feel even when you're praying that the thing is just going to the top of your head and nowhere else.
Sure.
So there's this issue. That's the elephant in the room. It affects your relationship. And also, one thing we must understand is this. Pornography is acting. It's fantasy. The same way that you see sci-fi movies. So the fantasy world sets a standard that reality will never be able to.
Yeah.
So the one woman in your life, the wife, will never be able to meet that standard that fantasy has created. And so what follows? Dissatisfaction. I'm not happy. Marriage is not what I want it to be. A, B, C, D. My needs are not met. Why? Because your needs are subscribed to unrealistic standard with fantasy. So pornography is not God's play. It's not something that we should it's not as bad as we are trying to. As terrible as any of the substances that produce invalids and addicts, because it cripples the only things that it's silent. You don't see somebody with their dress and their change, happy Sabbath, with a pink suit, cut their nail to their part, you don't see that they're struggling with it. Whereas some substance addicts, you quickly see the lips, the whatever, the eyes, everybody's struggling from something. No, this one is a secret one, and the secrecy is where its power lies.
Sure. And my question, I just heard you speaking of fantasy. What's stopping men to create that fantasy world with their partners?
I think, of course, you see different aspects there, because their partners are individuals with their own personality, their own desires. So they might, these fantasies they might want may actually be very taboo or even unnatural. What do I mean? Because remember, many men, like we said, they are getting an education from the street, from pornography, not from the churches. They are watching, not from community groups which are teaching values and morals. So the best of us, when time comes to get married, guess what? If I've never sat before a pastor, an elder, or a church leader who tell me, say, no, this is what the original view of sexuality is, this is how God intended. Because many of us go into, the type I'm saying I do, I'm getting into marriage with the only sexual education I have is the one I get from photography on the street.
Mm.
So now you go out, you go into marriage and want to act out this, and your friend says, hey, wait, hold on. What is this? What are you trying to do? Because she doesn't know the things they're talking about, and they're all strange and natural things. Because you didn't get it the right way, you got it off the street in pornography, it begins to affect your marriage. Eesh. And unfortunately, you find that people, even in marriage, because we learn the shame attached to pornography, we go into marriage thinking sex in itself has some shame attached to it. There are many husbands, the best of them, pastors and them, thinking that when they want, husband and wife want to meet, they feel that at that point, yeah, God is in their life, but when that time is about to happen, God excuses himself to say, you know, do what you need to do, don't step out of the room, because there's something shameful. No. It's not. It's because we're looking at things through the lens of shame. We learned the wrong way, and now we feel, I don't know how this could be read right before God, even between husband and wife. So there's a lot of issues around that. And what is missing is a lack of proper, balanced Christian education on the right biblical view of sexuality.
Hey, I love that point. Sure. Yo. Powerful one, my elder right there. All right, to our listeners at home, we are talking to Elder Christopher regarding the problem that men are facing in their daily lives. We are looking at breaking free from pornography. What are some healthy strategies for breaking free from pornography addiction?
So much. Thank you. You already mentioned about accountability. Accountability. We are not made to be atoms or islands, social creatures. So what is important is that we need to find community. But the Bible says this in Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. So you need to surround yourself with a community or a group or a company or network of people who have values you want to uphold. What do I mean? It's difficult to identify, like I said, the secrets. And so you need to find people who are somebody you should be trusted, somebody you can trust. Open up, first of all, an accountability. Say, and of course, it doesn't just happen that you meet them and just say, I'm going through this. You will see from the relationship, you are checking inch by inch the things you are comfortable discussing with them, and then bring out the back and say, I've got this challenge. And ABCD, you have tested them with smaller things. That's wisdom. Test smaller things. You don't test the depth of a pool with both feet. So you're testing slowly. You say, okay, I told them this and they've kept it secret. I haven't heard it anywhere. I have shared this, I've heard it. And then now you reach a point where you can, okay, this is my situation. I'm going through ABCD. The issue of belonging to a community that has the value you want to embody is very practical. Even science shows this is why many people recover from alcohol by joining those AA classes, our anti-alcoholics, because you are in a group of people who are fighting the same enemy as yourself. And you are hearing testimonies of how they overcame. They've drunk us for 15, 20 years, and they are telling you they have been clean for the last 1 year, 2 years, sure, 3 years, 5 years. You know what that does to you? It's the same thing with if you want to improve your literacy, your reading, you join a book club. So you want to increase your fitness, you join a fitness team in the community. They run, they go running 5 a.m. or 18 hours. Because you've got similar values, it becomes easier. The group, the headman, the mob psychology, they call it, you are a group of, it becomes easier than when I'm alone. We to be disciplined and see that I live up to it. So join, find a community. People who have these values, you are not open about this issue. And not shaming you, but you can discuss these things comfortably. You are helped. Alone, this thing will consume you because it is the secrecy where the power lies.
Sure. Yo, last question before I let you go, my elder. How can faith communities support men in this struggle without turning it into a taboo?
What's important is those safe spaces we spoke about. For example, I mentor a group of young men. Every 2 weeks, we have sessions. We talk about different aspects of life. But they have reached the point where they are free. And they'll inbox me to say, I'm struggling with this. How do I go about this? I do not pretend to hold myself to be one who has solutions to everything. But I know people who are professionals who can help them. So I refer, this is an issue, there's this person is a medical doctor, a psychologist, this one is a mental health expert. So what we need to have is those communities where people are free to say, I'm struggling with this, I've got this alcohol addiction, I've got this. But right, the problem in teaching is that we're walking on eggshells. And this is the place where we are supposed to be, this is a hospital. Now imagine where I come to the hospital and I'm uncomfortable, I'm not free to share, I've got sickness with the doctor, and I go outside, I find people on the street who are saying, no, if we can remedy, you can cure you. We are getting people dying because where should be help? There's silence, there's shame, there's taboo.
Eish.
Create safe spaces.
Wow. Powerful one, my elder. I hope you are coming back this
on Wednesday, yeah?
Yes. You've explained it so well. Thank you so much for your time. Before I let you go, can we close with a word of prayer?
All right. We pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your time. Discuss one aspect that Father, it is the men that you've set up to lead out. What they're leading home, dictators. And if they are struggling, they are filled with shame and all these things that take away from their purpose. They will not function and they should. Father, help us to overcome that we may begin to represent and display your character and lead out the way you've been. This is him very thanksgiving in our
amen. Amen. Have a beautiful day, my elder.
Thank you. You too.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.